الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله العظيم. One important point about our eating, which one of our brothers reminded me about, which is also very important, is the nazar that falls on the food. That is our eyes. What nazar? What our eyes? Our eyes, anyone's eyes that fall on the food, that also has got an effect on the food. By Abdul Wahab Sahab of Raiwind, he says that in the days of the past, in the Khanqas, if any sheikh wanted to reduce any murid zikr, for any reason, that the zikr is too hot for him, he's becoming very hot-tempered now, or that pride is coming in him, that he's making too much zikr, whatever, the hallucinations, that now he's seeing things now, that he's flying in the air and all that is coming now, his zikr has to be made less. So one simple way they used to do is let him eat the food of the bazaar, food that is sold in the bazaar, that food on which everyone's nazar falls, things which are on display, etc. And the natural effect of it used to be that the person's zikr would become less. One of our students, Maulana Muhammad Saliji of Durban, he had heard this. So last year most probably, he told me they were in Jamaat in Pakistan, or in India, I think it was Pakistan. And one Sati in the Jamaat, he was also, he'd become gone on a very high, all the time, namaz, crying a lot all the time. They got frightened also that he's going to die or what, he was the way he was carrying on. They tried many things, but he just carried on. And they made some treatment, but still he just carried on. So they went to one town, so they met the elders of the Jamaat work there, and they told them, we've got this problem, this one Sati friend of ours, that all the time he's just in namaz, crying a lot in duas, etc., and he's like choking, so much he's crying. So they told him, it's very easy, just take him to go and have a cup of tea in the bazaar, and take him to a place where there's music also. So they took him there, and when he came back, Abad, that whole asar was gone. Just by going to have one cup of tea in a restaurant in the bazaar, and where music was also playing. So this is the effect of this eating out, the effect of, and now then we wonder today, we don't enjoy our ibadat. We don't feel like making ibadat. We have to see all this, the food that we consume has got a tremendous effect. So therefore, we should be very, very particular. We can take a simple, broad example. If, for example, the food at home, which our wives, they prepare it, she's a Muslim, she's a namazi also, and even if she did not remember to say Bismillah when she starts cooking, she doesn't read Yasin Sharif while cooking, then also she's a mu'mina in the house, that food will have that effect. And then that food, which is cooked by a non-Muslim, halal food, in any restaurant, etc., the food that is cooked by a non-Muslim, just being a non-Muslim, the effect of that kufr is going to have, that effect will be in the food. And we can understand that from another example. One is a person slaughters a fowl, he slaughters a goat, a sheep, he's even napak, though he shouldn't be, he needs ghusl. But, and he's a Muslim, but he reads Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, that it will be halal. And one is a person who is a Muslim, but he's a drunkard, and he slaughters. Can you imagine the difference between the two? All this has got effect on the food. So therefore, also, for example, fruit that grows in your backyard, and vegetables which you plant in your garden, all that, and one is all that fruit which is so shiny in the fruit shops. It's mirrored at the back, they shine that fruit. But everyone's eyes, not only eyes, people, how many people feel that fruit? Is it hard? Is it soft? That fruit and the fruit that grew in your garden, world of difference between the two. So therefore, A person who is particular about his iman, about his akhlaq, about his amal, will be very particular about his food. And a person who hasn't got anything, he won't be worried. A person who hasn't got any treasure, he won't be worried to even protect his treasure because he hasn't got any treasure. A person who has got treasure will be very concerned to look after and protect his treasure. So the food is very important. We should see this was one important aspect also, and we must try and see how much we can have food that is prepared at home and that only the house people. And as far as nazar also is concerned, the effect of the eye, don't take it to be anything small. It comes in the Hadith Sharif, al-aynu haqqun, that the eye, the effect of it is haqq, it has got effect. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi writes on this that, O ulama, whenever you explain this hadith, why do you only explain it in the negative sense? That is, like we say, nazar fell on a child. Now the child has got a running tummy, the child is crying, the child is all the time just crying, it's not happy, all that. Or on anyone else, nazar falls. That is true. But he says this hadith is not muqayyad. It isn't limited to bad nazar. It is open. The hadith is open. And then he says that the nazar, the eye, a good eye, that also nazar falls. Right? And a good effect falls on that person. And on that he writes, فَكَيْفَ نَزْرُ الْعَارِفِينَ. What to say about the nazar of Allah Wala, those who have recognized Allah Ta'ala. الَّذِي يَجْعَلُ الْكَافِرَ مُؤْمِنًا, which makes a changes a kafir into a mu'min. And how many people, this morning we explained, that Mu'inuddin Ajmeri rahmatullah alayh, is one suffer. And 9 million Hindus accepted Islam. What was it? That nazar. الَّذِي يَجْعَلُ الْكَافِرَ مُؤْمِنًا وَالْفَاسِقَ وَلِيًّا, and makes a fasiq into a wali. وَالْجَاهِلَ عَالِمًا, and makes a jahil into an alim. وَالْحَيَوَانَ insana, and makes an animal into a human being. A person who's like an animal, he becomes a human being. So this nazar has got great, great effect. So it falls and it has got great effect. On that, our Shaykh Damat Barakatuhum quotes many times the narrator of the incident, Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. Where can we bring a more stronger narrator, reliable, trustworthy narrator? Hazrat says that Shah Abdul Qadir, the son of Hazrat Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah, Hazrat Shah Abdul Qadir Rahmatullah Ali, was making ibadat in Fatehpur Masjid of Delhi. The masjid is there till today, a very famous masjid. And he used to make, for long hours, he was making ibadat. And as he made, and this is also another very important point to note in this incident, is that with our ibadat, with our obedience of Allah Ta'ala, staying away from sin, etc., nur fills in the heart. And when this nur overflows, then it starts overflowing from the eyes, from the tongue, from the walking of that person, from everything. And then that has got effect on people. And now when you talk, it's not only the words, but that words are enshrouded with this nur, and that has an effect on the people. Therefore, the same bayan, somebody else, many times, like in jalsas, students, they say a bayan, they learn it off by heart. That what they say, what they learned off by heart, and they are just rattling it off, it never ever can it have the effect of that buzurg whose bayan it is. Though he only wrote that bayan in a kitab, but what effect it has got in there, the student who just learnt it off and rattles it off. Many a person, imams of masjids for Jummah, for Jummah preparation, they go and open kitabs, they prepare the Jummah bayan. Now that, what effect, what depth will have, and from the buzurgs from where they are quoting it, There is a world of difference between the two. How much we have made within ourselves. So how lot noor is filled in our hearts. And that noor now overspills from the eyes. Now when the person looks at somebody, it has got that effect. When he makes dua, that dua has got that effect. He advises somebody, it has got that effect. He's walking, he's getting up, he's sitting, has got an effect when that noor is filled in the heart. So Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, had made so much ibadat. But now he got up from his ibadat, he was going home, and his first nazar that fell was on a dog. And this is the narrator of it, Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. This, the effect that fell on the dog, when dog's nature is such, when they go into another street, into another neighborhood, those dogs bark and chase it out. They don't accept a strange dog in their area. But this dog, wherever it would go, all the other dogs would sit with great respect in front of it. Just the nazar of the Shah Abdul Qadir Rahmatullah Ali that fell upon him. So when this can have an effect on animals, our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, in the majlis of Hazrat Maulana Shah Abdul Ghani Phulpuri Rahmatullah Ali, whenever I would notice that Hazrat's nazar is falling on me, then I would make dua that, Ya Allah, Shah Abdul Qadir's nazar had this effect that the dog became the great buzurg amongst all the other dogs. My Shaykh is looking at me, and you have, I'm after all an insan. You put that effect on this nazar, that when it's falling on me, that it must have this effect on me also. And it is, after all, this nazar that makes in a whole class, they are all students, and amongst them, they are the very intelligent ones. But in that, who takes on work of deen later? On whom the ustad's nazar fell. In the murids, there are plenty murids, and on whom the shaykh's nazar falls. That lot of work you see that murid starts doing. So that is that nazar that falls. Shah Ismail Shaheed Rahmatullah Ali. There was one person, ordinary person in Dioban. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hind, Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanotwi Rahmatullah Ali, noticed that in Chitta Masjid, which is there till today, from where Darul Uloom Dioban had started, that suddenly, when somebody comes in the masjid, the whole masjid lightens up. Noor, spiritual noor, fills the whole masjid. So he put one child to see, who wasn't responsible to make namaz with Jamaat. You notice that who is this who comes in, and the masjid, the whole masjid lightens up with noor. So the child noticed, he told Maulana, this is this person. Ordinary person, nothing to be noted for anything. So Hazrat then called him, asked him, what is it that when you come in the masjid, the whole masjid lightens up with this noor? Kaun aaya ki dheemi par gayi shama'a lawe mehfil? Who is this who has come now that the light of the gathering, it has become dim now? Ke patingo ke iwas urne lagi chingariya. That now this thing has got no value, the light that we were having. Another very bright light has come. Who is this who has come in? That this very bright light comes in at this time. So he asked him, what is this? So he says that when Shah Ismail Shaheed Rahmatullah Ali was going for jihad to Balakot, and when he was passing Dioban, and he was coming past Chitta Masjid also. And that same alley is still there today, it takes a curve that way. So he said, I stood in such an angle, this is now intelligence, using brains for deen. He said, I stood in such an angle that when Hazrat will take a turn, his nazar will have to fall on me. He says that one nazar of Shah Ismail Shaheed Rahmatullah Ali that fell on me, it had this effect. So this is, and I myself have noticed so much. We go so many places, and they say, for this child, today he's a alim, he's a hafiz, mufti, everything. Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali came and he made dam on this child. Hadrat Maha Shaykh Al Hadith Rahmatullah Ali came, he made dam on this child. And what the child became. So this is the effect of the nazar of buzurgs. So it falls on food also. And there also we have to see what we are eating, and also the ready-made food, even tin stuffs, bottle stuff, as far as we can, try and avoid these things. And at least when we do consume the way what we have to, read Bismillah, make du'as, try and at least neutralize it, balance it out. Otherwise, where all the non-Muslims' nazar have fallen on all these things, it has got an effect on all those things. Yesterday we closed and I told that I would explain that Islam is a complete way of life, where Islam is a religion also. That is the first hadith of Mishkat Sharif, where Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came, and there is such a hadith that from various points a person can just keep on making bayan on this hadith. Anyway, there are many aspects of the adab, of a ustad, of a student, so many aspects. But one of them is that the major part of the hadith, the most outward, ostensible, which everyone can make out, that Jibreel alayhi salam came and asked a question, Mal Islam, what is Islam? Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, he said, Sadaq, it's the truth what you are saying. Yeah, what is relevant to what I want to say is that, yeah, is Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained Islam, the five cardinal principles of Islam, which we all know, and that is Islam, namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, shahadat of la ilaha illallah. This is Islam, we all know this is Islam. So this is really Islam from the aspect that Islam is a religion. This is the religion of Islam. In the same kitab, Mishkat Sharif, there then, after Jibreel alayhi salam asked, Mal Iman, what is Iman? Mal Ihsan, what is Ihsan? And that Ihsan, what he asked, and the answer which Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave, is the same tasawwuf, what we call today tasawwuf. It is the same thing, only the difference of name. That day it was called Ihsan, yeah, today we call it tasawwuf, we call it khanqa, but it's the same thing. And Jibreel and Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this was Jibreel. Ja'a, he has come, yu'allimukum deenakum, to teach you your deen, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came. So part of deen, and which Jibreel alayhi salam came and teach, was Ihsan also, to acquire the sifat Ihsan. So that is there. Then in later in Mishkat Sharif it comes that on the day of Qiyamah, namaz will come and intercede for a person who was a namazi, a person who used to make his namaz. And namaz will say, Anas Salah, I am namaz, meaning thereby, this person used to always make namaz. And namaz, inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar, by the barakat of namaz, by my barakat, namaz will say, this person who was protected, was saved from a lot of sins, etc. In other words, namaz will say what honorable, what it is, what namaz is. And also that it will be interceding. I'm interceding for this person. Allah will say, you are good, very good. Anta ala khair. You anti. You are very good, very good. Allah won't just refuse. And yeah, also learn the adab, that Allah doesn't want to accept at that stage the intercession of namaz, but Allah didn't say, I'm not accepting. Allah Ta'ala said instead that you are very good, implying thereby that, but I can't accept you. Then roza, zakat, hajj, everything will come, everything will intercede. Allah will be refusing the intercession of all these things. Then Islam will come and say, Anal Islam, al-Sir, yeah, you right. And because of you now, I'll accept the intercession of namaz also, roza, zakat, hajj, all this also, but on Islam. Now, namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, there we learn this is Islam. But yeah, we see Islam is a different thing. That Islam, yeah, is not namaz, roza, zakat, and hajj. So what is Islam, yeah? It's a way of life. A complete way of life. And as we explained yesterday, the enemies today are trying the utmost, and not only today. None of us have to get so worried that the enemy is making so much effort. All along they were doing. There is from the beginning, from the time Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got his nabuwat, shaitan and all his allies, the allied forces, not only today allied forces, from that time shaitan got all his allied forces. And they were trying the utmost to give Islam a crushing defeat, that Islam will not stand up again. But the kuffar, their minds, their skulls are so thick, the more they're trying to press Islam down, the more Islam is spreading. From the time Islam started to at one person, Hazrat Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the numbers of Islam have not dwindled till today. No matter how weak we are, but the numbers of Muslims are just increasing all the time. Everywhere they are just increasing. And if true statistics have to come out, Islam is swallowing up the other people. And today also, they say Islam spread by the sword. Where is the sword today? But Islam is spreading like wildfire even today. And it's spreading right in their own backyards. And they can't control it there. They want to go and control it somewhere else. The Christian missionaries are working so much in third world countries. They can't protect the Christianity in the first world countries. And they want to go and dish out Christianity in the third world countries. But Allah's principle, Allah's promise. يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِعُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ They will want to put out the noor of Islam. And Allah said it very clearly. We don't have to be so concerned. If we study Quran Sharif, Allah says, يُرِيدُونَ All the effort is only till irada. They are just making the irada. And وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ And this also, one is irada and بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ Just by the mouth. Today we say the media is gone like this, the media is like that. Allah is saying, they just by mouth, by media, they are trying to put out the light of Islam, and it's only their intention, they can't do more than that. And categorically, Quran Sharif, Allah's kalam, Wallahu mutimmu nuri. Allah will complete and perfect His nur. So Allah is going to do it. Who Allah uses, fortunate is that person. But Allah is going to complete, and whoever wants to fight Allah, then let him go and fight Allah. Fir'aun, who was it? Namrud. Fir'aun. He told, Ya Haman, ubni li sarhan la'alli attaliyo. Let me bring to for me the steps. Let me climb up to Allah. Let me go and kill him. And when he threw a spear, it hit some bird or something, and it came back with blood. He said, Now I've killed Allah. Allah who is in the heavens, I killed him now. And that when Allah put him in the river Nile, then he said, Amantu billah. Now I bring iman. But anyway, so Allah is going to complete his nur. So Islam is, so they are trying to explain, trying to tell us, Islam is one part of your life. You're a businessman, you do business according to Western. That is what they actually want to bring. In the whole world, a Western system, a Western culture. And we have to see how much we have brought Western culture within us. When we standing with a cold drink can in the hand and a burger in the other hand, this is what they say, we're going to bring that culture. That is that Western culture. They want ultimate pop music to be everywhere. Whether you opt for soft music or hard music, still that is the Western culture. They've said that the Coca-Cola board will be in the most remotest corner of the world also. So that is that culture which they want to bring. That is their effort. They are going to make their effort. And what we have to bring, once we were traveling in one country, and we've traveled through the more, what is called the elite area, and all shops and businesses. So one of our friends said, this country also is coming up now. Today we also judge and standardize. When we Western culture, their ways are coming, then we say we are now progressing. Now the country is coming up when we got their ways. Not only their highways and byways and freeways, their shopping malls, and with that goes everything else. Goes all the cinemas in there, goes all the other things in there, all the things, the interest system of banking, all the things. When we see that, we feel now we are coming up. And now we are progressing. That is not our progress. Our progress is how much more an Islamic way of life is coming in. And our way of life is taking root. That is what we have to make an effort for. Today we have to see ourselves, our homes, our lifestyle. How much is it Islamic and how much is it Westernized? And at the most that a pious person will do, we're living a Western lifestyle, but we brought Islamic, we Islamicized it. Now we have to bring an Islamic way of life. A complete Islamic way of life we have to bring into our lives. Once we were in Saharanpur, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, and we were making a khilal. Khilal is sunnah. And we used the toothpick. So one person who was standing there, he says this toothpick is also a Western toothpick. And there is a tree that grows, and it grows like what all toothpicks in clusters. Naturally it grows like that. So he says that is what we should be using, the natural thing. Not the Islamic things, but we're using Western things. So we should try and see, analyze that how much of a pure Islamic system and Islamic lifestyle, our businesses, our homes, our food, everything, how much pure Islamic we can bring. So this whole Islamic lifestyle we have to bring. With regard to that, the Quran is emphatic. Inna deena inda Allahi al-Islam. There is only one lifestyle by Allah. Ye Islam, and deen ye doesn't mean just namaz, roza, zakat. There was one person when I was in Germiston, and there are many people like that, and I know him personally, and very, very pious he is, there is no doubt about it. But suit and tie, and topi also he used to wear. When driving to, he was tahajjud guzar also, all his ishraq paban. While driving to work, he should read his Hizbul Azam while driving. Keep it on the steering and he should read. Very pious person, but total Western lifestyle. Now today, mashallah, he has changed. But that is one, that a person, his whole system is Western, but he's very pious also. There are such ladies, whom I also know, that they hair made up, dressing very modern, but tahajjud guzar. They won't miss the Hizbul Azam, forget all the other things. They won't miss the Monday, Thursday, rozas, but the whole lifestyle is Western. So, and you have another person who's got a whole Islamic culture, and he know much ibadah, just for us, wajib sunnat e muakkada. This person is much, much more superior than that person with so much of his ibadah. Right? So this is the important thing, to bring an Islamic culture and an Islamic way of life. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. That whoever chooses a way of life other than Islam, it can't mean namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. It means a way of life besides Islam, it won't be. And in this hadith of Mishkat Sharif, it has been made clear that when Islam, Allah will accept the intercession of Islam, which means then that because of this way of life, on that is dependent your namaz, your roza, zakat, hajj also for acceptance by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So therefore it's very necessary that we see our whole culture, our dressing, our lifestyle, our homes, we try and bring it, make it Islamic as much as we can. Then in the other ayat, where in the first ayat Allah Ta'ala says, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا, that make your face straight for فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا, for deen which is hanif, a straight deen which is deenul Islam, that is Islamic way of life. In the next ayat Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا, and تَرْكَنُوا means, Maulana Ali Miyah Rahmatullah Ali has explained this, that from your heart also, don't even incline from your heart to the wrongdoers, to non-believers. Don't even incline to have the way, forget actually having it. From your heart also, don't even desire. How many of us are such, we want our wives to dress according to how the Yahud and Nasara dress. If nowhere else, then just in the bedroom. Let her wear that shoes and all that and get in bed with that. But we must have that lifestyle. If we can't have a haircut, give her a wig to wear. But she must have that lifestyle. So all that. And really if we go and see and analyze for ourselves, and again I'm talking to this majlis, to myself and to this majlis of ours, that we don't go out with other women. But the woman we see outside, my wife must be now appear like those women. And if you marry this woman who are outside, a white woman, if you think that color is beauty, if in your opinion, color is beauty, and if your opinion that blue eyes are beautiful, whereas Munkar Nakir is going to come with blue eyes. And the people of Jahannam, Zurqa, وَنَحْشُرُهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ Zurqa. The people of Jahannam will raise them up with blue eyes. So if blue eyes is great beauty in your eye, in your eyes, and also if you study optically, the best, most perfect eye is a complete black eye, which was the eye of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the eye of the Hurul Ain. They're going to have black eyes. And any other color, light brown, which many of us have got, green eyes, blue eyes, maybe somebody got yellow eyes, whatever, maybe now with contact lenses, all that, that is an underdeveloped eye. It was an underdevelopment in its pigment. Therefore, it is like that. The most developed eye is one that it is completely black. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's eyes, khuliqta kama tasha, ka'annaka khuliqta kama tasha. The black eye is the most beautiful, the most perfect eye. So anyway, if those things are beauty in your opinion, and that white woman, if you think that is beauty, just let her wear burqa, and she'll just look like any other woman. You won't see any difference. What is the thing that attracts? It's not that woman, but that lifestyle. That how she's dressing nakedly, her hair, how she's cut it, and what is that? All the styles which they pay for so much. It is just cut up the hair anyhow, and just mix it up. And that's a new style also. Now, if that is any style whatsoever, but that is the thing what appeals. Therefore, privately, we want our woman to be dressed like that, to carry on like that. So really, if we analyze, the words might seem hard, but it's for myself and for all, it is a love of kufr ways. It's not the love of that woman, it's the love of that kufr ways. And how dangerous is in this, to have the love of the kufr ways, that how they dress and how they carry on. That love is in our hearts. So how much effort we have to make. And then many of us think we're very pious also. Just because we made some namazes and something, now we are very pious. But the love of kufr is still in our hearts. And the Quran says, Quran Sharif, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. Don't even incline a little bit towards their ways. When Christmas come, how many people will go and see lights? Now that's also something amusing. To go and see lights in the town. That's also something which appeals. New Year's night, if nothing else, just to stay awake till 12 o'clock. What has that got to do with us? Even if we don't go and blow hooters or firecrackers or anything, but just to be awake till that time. We should live a life as though these things don't exist at all. We have our own independent way of life, where we have got our choice, like in our madrasas, have our days, from Saturday to Thursday, Friday our public, we must not incline towards their ways in any way. How many of our masjids, madrasas, our meetings that we hold are fully on their ways? How their rules of a meeting, we apply all those rules here, as if we were left in the dark. We weren't given guidance of how. And how many of us which has become, how these things take root and how they catch on, that we petition and we make a big noise that we want flat toilets at the airport, at the filling stations, the ultra cities. We must have our, and it is an achievement of the South African Muslim, that we have flat toilets at the airports, we have it at the ultra cities, but in our houses, in our own private bedroom, high toilet. In our houses, all high toilet. So that lifestyle, and if we sit on that high pan, our bottoms are not going to become high in any way, and neither are they going to become white in any way. And neither anything that comes out will come out white or will come out like zafran or musk. What is coming out, in any case, only that is going to come out. So we should live our own lifestyle, and health-wise, and forget even if it was unhealthy to sit down. And as very sadly, some of our women say it's more clean and hygienic, the high pan. Whereas, how many days debate whether you get AIDS if somebody was sitting on the high pan with AIDS and your body makes contact with that high pan. And if you sit squatting, your body doesn't make contact with the pan. But it doesn't come in our sense. Yet that appears, and there, the high pan, when there was a ijtima in Sheffield, the first ijtima in England, in Sheffield, and for the toilets, the authorities in the UK just would not give them permission to have flat pan toilets. They tried a lot, they discussed. When our marhum Haji Bhai Padia went there, then he went and meet them. And he had his own special unique way. And that is the correct way. So when he went and explained to them, he didn't take the dictionary and look for words in the dictionary. And what is his English? Haji Bhai's English? It wasn't all that, but it's sincerity from the heart. He went and explained them this high pen toilet. What is it? There's some analysis, total analysis of it. It is one for me, one for you. And when they didn't understand that, he says one, that blob goes down, and one, it all splashes up. So all that filth and dirt, on that they understood. And then they gave permission that this other pen is more hygienic and it is more clean. That you don't on the water and it all doesn't splash up again. So this is the most perfect way. In case if it was more unhygienic, but it's the sunnah of Nabi, and the sunnah of Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can never be unhygienic. What Shaheen Athar writes in his beautiful poem, the beard is, if the beard was not beautiful, it was not haseen, to ye meri nabi ki sunnat nahi hoti. If the beard was not beautiful, it would not have been the sunnat of my nabi. There is a different thing that our eyes are gone different. That we see beauty in a clean shaven person. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when those two people, even the munafiqs and the kuffar, all had beards. But when those two people came from Persia to come and arrest Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not even look at their face a second time. And why? Because they did not have beards. What will be our condition in the qabr on the day of Qiyamah? If we don't have beards, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not look a second time at them, what is going to be our position? So anyway, every sunnah of Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most perfect way of life. There can't be a more superior. And man can write books and do research on the benefits and the beauties of the sunnah. They'll never exhaust what all it is, can never reach there. So Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's tariqa are the most perfect. So we should try in our homes also, instead of going for, cancel one umrah. Umrah is not for us. And less than an umrah, cancel your one holiday. That Ramzan, I made too much ibadat, now I need a break. Like one of our friends, when Hadhrat Maulana Ihtisham al-Haq sahab, Rahmatullah Ali was here, and he should sing that Nafir-e-Ghair quite often. So he took very much interest in that. He enjoyed it. One of our friends, he's still living also. He's an alim. But he had a habit of smoking also. So, and after the bayan, when he goes out with his friends, he says, light up. Sab khushiyo ko aag laga do. Now you go and all, so if our taste is gone like that, and now we want a break, I made too much ibadat in Ramzan. Many of us, that now it was too hot for me, now I need a break. Cancel one such break at some resort, use that money and change that toilet pan. And bring that flat pan, bring it, save the flat pan. One beautiful article one of our students wrote, that save the flat pan. It is extremely important. And how sad, not only now in Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, you won't get a hotel with a flat pan. Previously, alhamdulillah, you would get quite a few. And another thing also, don't let it face the Qibla. Though it is in the building also, but in our beds also, don't put our beds facing in such a way that our legs face towards Qibla. And neither let our toilet pans be such a way that we face the Qibla when we relieve ourselves. Have respect and adab of our Kaaba, of our Qibla. Don't be like that Pathan when he saw one Hindu that he was urinating towards Qibla. He went and gave him one slap. He told him, what are you doing? You're facing towards Qibla? Then afterwards, a little while, the Hindu saw him urinating towards Qibla. So he told him, just now you stopped me, you slapped me so hard, you told me I mustn't urinate. So he said, yeah, apna hai. What is ours? We can do what we want to. We take it for granted that it is ours. And for us, there isn't respect. Hindu must make adab, but we don't have to make adab. One Pathan, he saw one Hindu, he said, kambakhat, kafir ka bacha, par kalima, read kalima. So now he got frightened. There was no way a Khansap will kill him if he doesn't read kalima. So he said, acha Khansap, parado mujhe. You tell me to read Kalima, let me read it. So you say, I also don't know. So let that not be our attitude. That we correct ourselves first. So anyway, so the flat pan is our lifestyle is very important. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. Don't even incline from your heart to the ways of the non-believers. فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. If you do so, the fire of Jahannam is going to reach you, is going to touch you. فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ وَمَا لَكُمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءِ. And remember, besides Allah, you got no supporters, you got no helpers, nobody to protect you besides Allah Ta'ala. So don't even incline towards the kuffar that they will help us. Let us make them happy, then they will help us. No, we've got our distinct way. فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءِ ثُمَّ لَا تُنصَرُونَ. Then you won't be helped. You are going inclining towards them to get some respect from them or to get some help from them. They will look after us. But Allah says, if you leave Allah, nobody will help you. An example of this is, in a meadow, there were three cows, a white cow, a black cow, and a red cow. And there was a lion that wanted, not cow, bulls. And the lion wanted to attack them, but the three bulls, the lion could never succeed. They were too strong. They were united, and they kept the lion at bay all the time. Then the lion saw, we can't defeat them militarily. Now politically we must. Now it's democracy and diplomacy. The lion said, we must use that. So the lion went to the white cow and said, I don't want to eat you, I want to make friends with you. I've got something to discuss with you. Go to the white cow and the red cow. And told them that you people look so beautiful in the meadow here. Only this black cow spoils the whole scene. So it came in the head, yes, these are our problem. This one here, the black cow. So they asked, what can we do? He said, you don't have to do anything. I'll do everything. All you have to do, you just play, you turn a blind eye. Today what is happening in Palestine? And everyone, the world is turning a blind eye. All the Muslim countries are turning a blind eye. After Palestine, it's not the end. Saudi shouldn't think that they're safe, or Egypt shouldn't think they are safe, or it's Iraq, or it's Palestine, or it's Afghanistan, or any other even non-Muslim. Wherever Zulm is taking place, it's a duty upon the rest of the world to try and stop that Zulm. So anyway, he said, you just keep quiet. You just turn a blind eye and I'll sort this one. The one cow on its own bull couldn't do anything. Then after some time, the lion came again to the white bull and said, you look so beautiful, but this red bull, it spoils the whole scene. He said, it's true, I'm so beautiful, I'm white and I look so beautiful. And it's only this red bull that is the problem here. What can we do? He said, I'll do everything. When I come, you just turn the blind eye. He ate up the red bull also. Then what could the white bull do alone? Ate him also up. So this is how they are working, how they are attacking us. Eh? So we should be careful for the plannings of the non-believers. On what was this? Gee, we love their ways, but they are not our friends in any way whatsoever. We do everything to try and appease them, to try and make them happy. At workplace, etc. Also, while we are on that, this hello of ours. The Quran Sharif says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا رَاعِنَا. Do not even say رَاعِنَا. The munafiqeen and the Jews of Medina Sharif should come and say to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رَاعِنَا. There are two words. One is رَاعِنَا, one is رَاعِنَا. رَاعِنَا, رَاعِنَا, that you are our car, you look after us, you are our protector, etc. رَاعِنَا, you are our shepherd. So they used to use the word رَاعِنَا, that you are our shepherd, a derogatory term. Because رَاعِنَا is so similar to it, so close, Allah said, don't even use a similar word. Even that is forbidden. That you are not saying, and you're not saying it with that intention also, na'uzubillah. But because these people are saying it, now don't even use that. So the word hello, for example, what is hello? It's hell low. That you're making baddua for the person, you tell him when you say hello, hell, you go to hell, and the lowest part of hell. And in return, he also tells you hello. You also go to hell. And you also go to the lowest part of hell. So we shouldn't. And we have been given the most beautiful greeting. We were in Malawi now. There was a program for the ladies. So one lady, very big belt also. So she, with authority, she told, enough now. All of you came here making hi. Now go bye. It's enough now. Your time is over. The program time is over. All making too much hi. Now bye. Go. So anyway, this hi and bye is not our culture. Hello is not our culture. We have got our own so beautiful salam. What better thing could there be? And when you ask somebody, how are you? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah tamla'ul mizan. While you saying Alhamdulillah, you filled your pain of the day of Qiyamah, your pain, you have filled it up with sawabs. Our brother Yusuf Gundiwala's daughter passed away. Allah, she has got it. We make dua. Allah give her higher stages in Jannat. Maulana Muhammad Rafiq, who is here, his wife saw one or two beautiful dreams about her. One dream which I've asked that she must write it down and we'll read it out. In that is that she says she's enjoying that. So his wife told that, yeah, we are like in, I feel I haven't done anything. I can't do. I've got my family, children busy with them. Can't make the ibadat which you have your aspirations to make so much tilawat, so much zikr. But with children, women folk are so occupied. And that is their jihad. Their jihad is at home. And they're getting the sawab of jihad, looking after their families, the homes, the husbands, etc. So, Bhai Yusuf's sister replied and said, no, don't think. Whatever small things you do, you cannot imagine how great the reward Allah is giving you. So just you saying, Alhamdulillah, how are you? Alhamdulillah. You don't think of it also anything. But that also by Allah, what that reward is going to be, you cannot imagine. Then Muhammad Rafiq's wife offered her some food. She looked at it and she said, you call this food? What we get here, that is food. And you give somebody a guest, you give the best. She says, that you call food? What we are getting here? What aren't we getting here? So, inshallah, when she writes a dream, we'll read it out. Really, it is a dream which will encourage us all tremendously. And it's not from the old Buzurg stories. Right here with us now. What Allah, how Allah is blessing and what Allah Ta'ala gives. So, our culture, bring it right. Our Islamic lifestyle, make it right. Make it Islamic on the small things. And Huzur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Khaliful Yahuda wa Nasara. Go against their ways. But today we're going fully according to their ways. We have been taught, go against their ways. We must oppose their ways in as many ways as we can. Whichever way we can, we should go. Not only their religious way. Even what is known as their culture, their way, we should, and we have got, when we have got the most superior culture, how can we trade it in? And we take a culture that is much more lower, and we have got the most modern culture. Christian culture is much more older. Jew culture is even older than that. Our culture is the latest culture. So why don't we follow our way of life? We should try and educate ourselves also, sit with ulama, learn what is our culture in our language also, Islamicize, try and have our own language. But if not, at least Islamicize the English language and our whole lifestyle also. Then inshallah, the dressing subject is still to be done. We will come to that inshallah, which is also very important. SubhanAllah.